The Virgin in the Ice by Ellis Peters. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Sir Michael Horden as the narrator, Philip Maddock as Brother Cadvile, and Douglas Hodge as Hugh Beringer. Episode 5, Discoveries.
In the year of grace 1139, a band of outlaws had taken prisoner Ives Hugonin, eldest son of a noble family and a rich prize indeed. Hugh Beringer and his men are standing off, helpless to attack without endangering the boy, when a sudden alarm throws the outlaws into confusion.
What's the matter with you, man? Must I do it myself?
They're standing on the track.
Well, then cut it from under them.
My lord!
Is it going to hold?
Not for much longer. They'll have to climb up one at a time. We still have a chance. Keep behind me and... They've stopped. They've gone away. I think they have more urgent concerns. Your friends are coming.
They're inside the gates! The whole force! There's Hugh Beringer! Well, shouldn't we go down and help them?
No!
But we must!
You're the one weapon that could save these murderers. If you fall into their hands now, all this would be thrown away. You can be a hero some other day, my young lord.
They set fire to the gatehouse!
Ives, listen to me. There will be no time for this shortly. Are you listening?
Yes. Yes, I'm listening.
Good. When all's over here, I shall leave you.
Leave me?
Your friends are King Stephen's men. If I fall into their hands, I'll spend the rest of my days in a Shropshire prison.
But Hugh Beringer...
Don't interrupt! I want you to go back to Bromfield and join your sister. Two nights from now, I'll come for you. Tell your sister so. Do you understand?
I understand.
They'll want to know who made his way in here to find you. Who was it?
It was Robert. Robert the Forester's son.
Good. Thank you, my friend.
That fire's spreading this way.
Well, better brave the devil below.
I'll get the ladder.
Why? Ah!
Olivier!
Now you! Jump! Come on, my heart!
Ah! I did it!
Did you think you wouldn't?
Of course not.
Always have faith in yourself, my friend. Now, hush for a moment. They're all busy outside. Come on.
How will we get out?
The way I got in. The door leads out to the back. The devil damn them! It's barred on the outside. We'll have to go this way.
Isn't that the door to the main hall?
What choice do we have? There may be some of them still inside, wounded or cowardly. Keep quiet and stay close. It's all right. It's a sudden draft. There is a way through. Can you do it?
I can do it.
Cover your mouth and breathe as little as you can. And watch out for things falling. Ready?
Ready.
Now! Nearly there. Stay close. Go!
I can't shift it!
Go, I say! Get to the open and hide! Leave me!
I can't leave you!
Do you have my mission fail? Go!
Down arms and draw off! Back! Father! Let me see a clear space before me, or this brat dies! King's man, where are you?
Here!
Come closer! Enough! Now, King's man, I want a fresh horse, free passage out, and no pursuit. On your oath, or I slit his throat! Well?
Leave go, the boy! He is mine!
No!
The boy is mine! I have come back for him!
No!
The outlaw baron saw a dead man advancing on him through the red light of the flames, saw the wounds he himself had inflicted still bloody, and the face he had murdered, corpse pale. The shock was brief, but shattering while it lasted, and it lasted long enough. Ives slid from the trembling hands like an eel and darted away down the steps. Running blindly, he collided with a welcome solidity.
Hey, softly now, you're safe.
Brother Gadbar.
What trickery is this? You think you can fright me with ghosts?
Enough of sheltering behind boys, Le Gaucher. Now face a man.
The lion's carcass, ponderously and with an awful dignity, had come to rest at Hugh Beringer's feet, to bleed what was left of its life away into the defiled snow. It was over. Cadwal left Hugh and his men to drag from the hall all the plunder and stores and round up the stolen cattle, sheep and horses as they had rounded up the leaderless outlaws. With Ives on his own saddle and Brother Elias on a sturdy litter borne by willing volunteers, he made his way back to Bromfield Priory.
Yes, come in.
My lady.
Prior Leonard, come in. Is there any news?
By the grace of God, there is.
Hello, Mina.
Thank God. And a fine dance you've led everyone, running off into the night like that.
Ha! It was you who caused
all
this.
Good day to you, my lady.
Brother Cadwal, I'm pleased to see you back safe.
My thanks. Now, Ives should be in his bed. He's had a couple of days that would wear out any man.
His bed is ready for him.
Then I leave him to his rest. Leonard, I think that these two have a lot to say to each other.
Yes, indeed.
Well, see you later, my friends. We'll talk more then.
Yes, good.
Cadwal returned to Brother Elias, sat beside him a careful while, and saw that he slept deeply and well. Then he went at last to his own bed. Even physicians have need of the simple medicines every now and again.
Hello, Brother Cadwal.
Master Ives, your sister asked me to come and talk to you.
How is Brother Elias?
Exhausted, but not too badly hurt.
Oh, thank God.
What is it that still troubles you?
I don't know what I ought to do. It's Brother Elias. When we were in that hut, he told me things.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help it.
Hey, now go on. Easy, lad. I mean, was it in his sleep that he spoke?
It was terrible. He was awake and asleep at the same time, crying out all sorts of awful things. He said that he killed Sister Hilaria.
Cadwal?
Yes, my friend.
The boy.
I'm here, brother. I'm safe.
Oh, God be praised.
Amen. Ives tells me that you've recovered the memories you lost.
She's dead. Let me follow her.
No, Elias. The world has need of you still.
I must not live. You don't understand. I was the cause.
No, Elias, that is not the truth.
I am guilty.
Guilty of asking too much of yourself. I've been at your hut. I know that you and Sister Hilaria took shelter there that night. A bitter night it was. A night when poor souls caught out in it must needs lie in each other's arms. For warmth enough to live. And so you did with her. To keep her alive.
So beautiful she was. So little and soft. So like my poor dead, he knew. And she trusted me. Oh, God. Was it well done to try me so sorely? I couldn't bear it.
Neither could I have borne it. In my fear for her, I should have left her there asleep and gone away into the snow and frost to watch out the night as best I could. As you did.
I was pledged to protect her. I should never have left her. If I had been stronger and stayed, she would be living still.
Oh, but they're in God's hands. You may not wish them back. All that you did was done out of care for her. Do you think God doesn't know how you left her your cloak for warmth and went out with only your habit? And what more could be asked of you?
More courage. More strength. More faith. May God forgive me.
Is it really true? He didn't kill her?
No, it's true.
Oh, thank God.
Even if he'd stayed with her, there's no certainty he could have changed what befell. He'll come to accept that, eventually.
Then it was the outlaws who found her after all.
No, no. Elias they found, after he wandered away from the hut. But not the sister.
Then who was it?
I don't know. But I shall, in God's good time.
Thank you for telling me, for trusting me. Where is my brother now?
He's sitting with Elias.
And his mind is eased?
It is. He'd be ready to go back to Gloucester with you. Eager, in fact. Your Olivier has a worshipper who would follow him to the world's end.
He has too. You no longer doubt him, then?
No longer. And you must forgive me for my caution earlier. When is he to come for you?
How did you know?
Oh, would such a man leave his work unfinished? Or let another complete it for him?
Never. Tomorrow night, about Compline.
The best time for you to leave would be matins. There'll be no porter on the gate. I'll shelter your escort until then, if you'll trust me.
With all my heart.
Next morning the sun emerged with dawn. And for the second night there had been no fresh snow. After High Mass, the claimants began to come in to look for their stolen horses.
Hugh, good morning.
Gladwell, how's your wandering patient?
Well, whole in mind at last.
Excellent news. This is going well. It's good to see happy faces again.
You wait until some beasts are claimed by more than one owner.
You're not in Wales now, my friend. This is England, where men are honest.
Oh, Kerouanin. Listen, some of these animals would try any man's honesty. You look at this magnificent beast.
And still unclaimed, which proves my point.
Perhaps. Oh, I'm looking forward to meeting his owner.
But you've already done so, brother.
My Lord Botterill.
Good day to you. And to you, Deputy Sheriff.
Bottle. A fine beast. Unusual colouring.
I owe you my thanks for his safe return.
A pleasure. You'll excuse me, my lord.
Of course.
Till later, Cadva.
Can't let him line you.
A fine officer. The Shire's in good hands.
Oh, indeed.
I should have liked to talk to him longer. Hear more about these murderous outlaws.
He's a busy man. There are still loose ends to be tied.
Of course.
So I trust I see you fully restored to health, my lord.
I am indeed mending, thanks to you, brother.
I did little enough. Oh, it's God you should thank.
Yes, indeed.
Why not come to the church with me now? We can give thanks for your delivery and say a prayer for all those less fortunate.
Willingly, brother. Why not?
We have one poor soul here now, coffined and ready for burial. So many have died in these cruelties. Honest men and innocent virgins. Annwyl Nefoedd.
Through the dim air of the mortuary chapel, a slender figure advanced upon Everard Bottrell. A cowled Benedictine nun in a habit crumpled and soiled, the right breast and shoulder stiffened into a rusty bolt of congealed blood.
No. No. Keep away from me. You're dead.
No, my lord. I am not dead.
Amina. Amina. You're safe. Why didn't you send word? Surely you know I've been searching for you.
I know it. And if you'd found me, I should have gone the way my dearest friend went. If you'd found me, as you found her.
Who? Who do you mean?
I accuse you. I name you murderer and ravisher. Killer of my sweet sister Hilaria.
You're out of your wits. Since the day you left me, I've lain in fever.
Not that night. That first night. You dragged me away when the outlaws attacked, saving your cowardly skin and leaving your people to be slaughtered. And I thought I loved you. Did it hurt your pride when I refused you after that? Is that why you laid your filthy hands on me?
Brother, this woman is mad. Don't listen to her.
I had a dagger. I struck for his heart, but it went astray. So I ran. And he came after me.
To bring you back to safety.
Safety! I hid by the gates and watched you go. And I saw you ride back, with the blood still flowing, where she had clawed at you in her terror. You were cheated of me, so you took out your venom on the first woman who fell in your way. What had she done to you?
I fell from my horse. I know nothing of this other woman.
Nothing. Nothing. Of a shepherd's hut, close by the track to your manor. Nothing. Of a young nun, asleep in the hay there, wrapped in a good man's cloak. Nothing of a freezing brook, handy on your way home afterwards. Nothing of the cloak and habit hidden in the straw, so we'd think had just one more victim of the outlaws. Killed and stripped, like all the rest.
I tell you, this is folly. I don't know this hut. I've never been there.
I have been there. And seen the signs of a horse. A tall horse that left a fistful of his mane on the splinters. Here it is. Yes. It is an unusual colouring, isn't it? Shall I match these hairs with your animal outside? Shall we stretch you over this habit and match your wound with the blood that soils it? Well, shall we?
God, forgive me. Forgive me. I only meant to hush her, not to kill. Not to kill.
It may even be true. Not that it makes any difference to her. Poor innocent soul. It was you who gave me the idea. The tale of Brother Elias.
My plan was simply to let him see her body. I didn't realize I was taking him to confront her ghost. What if I hadn't brought him to you?
He would have brought himself, sooner or later. The fine, pious lord seemed to be giving thanks for his people's deliverance. Will you do something for me?
What, child?
Don't tell my brother. I'll do that when I judge the time is right.
Certainly, if that's your wish.
Once we're safely away from this place and all its memories. Brother Cadfael, thank you for helping us.
By rights, you should turn Olivier in to your friend, the deputy sheriff, shouldn't you?
Child, I take no sides. Mine is a different discipline. Among men of decency and honour, I see no enemies. Now go and prepare yourself. I'll keep watch and let him in.
Olivier, come forth and be easy. They've entrusted you to me.
You know me?
From her, I know you. If the boy promised silence, be assured he kept his word. The Lady Ermina chose to trust me.
And so can I.
Come. I can offer you a warmer place to wait.
I am much in your debt. I saw how you cared for the boy after the battle. And he told me that it was you found him and brought him here to safety. The name he gave you... forgive me, I do not remember.
My name is Cadwyl.
Cadwyl. Mm-hmm. Well, brother Cadwyl, you know nothing of me. How can he be sure I am fit to be trusted?
But I know more of you than you may think. I know your name, and your allegiance, and your parentage. I know that Ermina Hugonin, who is well worth the winning, has set her heart on you.
She does indeed trust you.
So she may, and so may you.
What did Ermina tell you of my parents?
That your mother was a Muslim woman and your father a knight crusader. I can see it for myself. I know the Syrian features.
She has deceived you for all her trust, but only because she has also deceived herself.
Deceived herself? How?
By weaving a romance around my words. For her, every soldier of the crusade could be nothing less than a noble knight. But my father was a simple man at arms, under Robert of Normandy.
And your mother?
A poor widow in the market of Antioch. But she was beautiful and loving. And he was brave and kind. And I think myself well mothered and fathered, as well as any man living. I don't know why I tell you all this.
I'm a common man myself. I found as good in the kennel as in the court. She's dead, your mother.
Else I would not have left her.
Mm-hmm. And your father?
I never saw him, nor he me. He sailed for England after their last meeting and never knew he had left her a son. She never would tell me his name, though often she praised him. There cannot be much amiss with a mating that left her such love and such pride.
Half mankind marries without ritual blessing. Not necessarily the worse half.
I might almost think you speak of your own knowledge.
I was in the world 40 years before I chose this life as my cure. I've been soldier, sailor, and sinner. Even crusader. I knew Antioch once. 20 or more years ago. If your mother came from there, then yes, I can believe she was as fine a woman as any in Christendom.
Your own knowledge again. These walls are hearing curious confidences, brother.
I should go and wake them. It can't be long to the matins bell. Wait. Tell me one more thing, my friend. For my own curiosity. The Muslim beliefs are ancient and noble. I'm surprised you found it easy to leave such a faith, even for a father.
It was not easy. I was torn a long time. It was from my mother I had the sign that turned the scale.
What sign?
Her name. My mother bore the same name as your Blessed Mary. In her tongue, it was Marian.
Marian?
Brother?
I've met the name before. It has a fine sound.
Indeed.
Come, my friend. Let's go together.
There had been no need to speak, no need to make any claim, no need to trouble in any way the course Olivier had set himself. What need had he now of that father of his? After a parting, probably lifelong, Cadwyl did not stand by the gate to watch them ride away, but went back to his patient. In the secret, candlelit intimacy of the small bare room, he sat beside the sleeping brother Elias.
I've seen him. I've sat with him in the darkness and talked about the past. I've had cause to be proud of him. There's a marvelous creature in the world with my blood in his veins and Marian's blood. And what does it matter if I never see him again? And yet I may. Even in this world. Who knows?
The Virgin in the Ice was written by Ellis Peters and dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. The narrator was Sir Michael Horden. Brother Cadwyl was played by Philip Maddock, Hugh Beringer by Douglas Hodge, Leonard by Leonard Fenton, Olivier by Raad Rawi, Ermina by Moira Buffini, Ives by Dean Magri, Le Gaucher by Peter Laird, Elias by Crispin Letts, Bottrell by Andrew Wincott, The Axeman and Sergeant by Peter Gunn. The music was by Peter Salem. The producer was Phil Clark.